Making the world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. All right.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Show on Blog Talk Radio. Yeah. Thank you for that, because I know people are out there actually wanting to do that. That's great. That's wonderful. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. And we are broadcasting out of the city of Chicago. And folks, it is so beautiful. The weather is just so gorgeous in the city of Chicago right now. The sun is shining out, lovers out, holding hands, boys and girls. It's just a beautiful day. Sunshine is out. I mean, we've had some really raw weather lately. And I hope wherever you are in the world that you're getting some nice weather, too, and you're getting out there to exercise. We're going to talk about exercise later. So I got a lot to say about that later, because exercise is very, very important. Okay, one of the number one things that they're talking about in the world today, that the Facebook killer, Steve Stevens, has killed himself. The guy has killed himself. Yeah. I'm pretty sure you heard about it. And that's a good thing, because now we all can kind of relax a little bit, because they were saying that before he had taken his own life, they were saying that they didn't know where he was, how many weapons he had or anything, but they knew he was out here free. They didn't know where he was. They say he could be anywhere. This was before his suicide, the gunman's suicide, and they called him a Facebook murderer, Facebook Live. I think I touched on this a little bit yesterday. And I think Facebook Live is a good thing. It's a good thing, but you got so many people out here in the world who are going to abuse it, just like anything else. They're going to abuse it. They make it bad for the people who are doing positive things with it. People gonna abuse it. I think this is the second, third, or fourth time a crime has been committed on Facebook Live and on YouTube. These are good things. These are good outlets, especially for people with businesses and who are trying to sell their product or their merchandise or whatever, or their service. And people like this guy come along and just muck it all up for everybody. But you know what? This is continually going to happen. People are going to continue to do bad with Facebook Live, Facebook in general, YouTube, Instagram, LinkedIn. People continue to do bad and rotten lowdown and break every law in the damn book online and in some of these social. So it's just a shame. But at least this guy is off the street, whether he killed himself or he was shot by the police. It doesn't matter. This guy is off the streets, and he deserves to be off the streets, and he should be off the streets. He's, you know, a lot of us can walk a little bit more looser now that this guy's been taken off the street. You know, so I'm hearing that this happened in Pennsylvania, and near Lake Erie, one of the five Great Lakes. Wow. It brings back memories studying about the five Great Lakes as a child in school, that is. And he's off the streets, folks. He is off the streets. And that's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. But be careful, beware, and anticipate probably another. Mark Zuckerman, the CEO of Facebook, said that they're going to try and be a little bit more faster and quicker when deleting this kind of posting, and they are under attack. Facebook is under attack for leaving a video up for so long of this elderly gentleman being shot to death just by being an elderly or gentleman, or just being in the wrong place at the wrong time. They're going to be a little bit more quicker, a little bit more faster when identifying this kind of content and taking it down. And as I've said, people are taking advantage of Facebook Live, and they're doing awful things with it. And that's a shame. You know, I think Facebook Live is a great thing. I've never been on it, but I do have access to it. Like you probably, I do have access to it. I never done anything on it. I've known people who have, and most of the time they're just, you know, everyday people just putting something, just trying to get a message across or something like that. And you got people who are trying to sell, like I said before, who are trying to sell their products and services, which is okay. I guess that's okay. And, to do these rotten things on Facebook, there was a video not too long of a rape, a sexual assault on Facebook from Chicago. Yeah, you probably heard of that. So a lot of my friends are on Facebook and LinkedIn, so they know what I'm talking about if you're out there listening. And we're going to do some more of the mentioning books on the George Wilder Jr. show that people have submitted, sent in through Facebook, email, things like that. I'm not going to be able to get to all of them because there's me. I'll try and do what I can, and I hope everybody's out there appreciative of that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to call out a few more. E.B. Black, Ip Black, his Bright's Passion, The Last Word Gods. And it's Amazon, totally Amazon, you know. So Tanya L. Messingberg, The Heart of the Matter. I'm assuming that's Amazon also. Some of these I called off yesterday. Josh Shank, I'm pretty sure that's Shank, Hitman's Journey, Amazon. So these are some great titles. Bob Kidderer, Red Gold, Robert D. Kidderer, Red Gold. Oh, these are great. And Forever Bound. These are beautiful. Some of these I called off yesterday. We're going to be getting to them periodically out through today and out and for the rest of the week. Let me see. Is that Odella Flores, The Heart of Darkness, Amazon? That's great. The Heart of Darkness. Oh, wow. Kevin W. Thornburg, Harlem Sun. I might have mentioned some of these yesterday, but that's okay. That's fine. Joe Walter, A Grave for Kings, Book One, The Torchlight Histories. All right. Okay. Yeah, some of these I've done yesterday, so we have to get to some different ones today. So Terry W. Irving, 2, Relic Tech. All righty. Sasha, Henry Porter, Sasha. Okay, some people have put up more than one book, but I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to do one book and by the author. And a lot of I've had people's an author send in 6 or 7 of his books to be, you know, next time I send this out, I'm going to have to be more specific. You know, one book, one author, Because if someone hears your book on my show and they decide to go to your author's page or check out your link, they will be able to see everything you have. You don't have to actually send me 5 or 6 books to call out over the radio, just because if that the one mentioned, people hear it and they decide to go to Amazon on your Amazon page and they'll see everything. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here on Amazon.com. I'm on Google. What else? Twitter, all over the place. And I wanted to mention this too. It's just been thrown across my desk. Shooting rampage in California kills 3. That is something. Murder all over the world. But either way, shootings in California is not as high as those as the shootings are in Chicago. Okay. You know, in Chicago and California is a state. Chicago is a city. So something right there. California has a greater amount of population, more so than Chicago as a city. And Chicago has more murders than California or Los Angeles put together, maybe even New York. Because last Easter weekend in the city of Chicago, and 45 shootings over the Easter weekend took place in the city of Chicago. Over the Easter weekend, 45 shootings, people, took place in the city of Chicago over the Easter weekend, 45. And you've heard nothing from the superintendent. You heard nothing from the mayor. At least I have. I'm not saying they didn't say something about this, but I haven't heard anything. And I pay attention to these kinds of things. I haven't heard anything. These guys mentioned anything. There's no video of them saying anything about this. I have been talking about Chicago's crime forever. Nobody's paying attention or nobody cares. And I think if I was a superintendent on the mayor of Chicago, I think I could do a lot better job than what these guys are doing. And these guys are getting paid big, big, big taxpayer dollars to do nothing. Anytime you got 45 shootings in the city of Chicago on a weekend, a 2-day weekend, what is that telling you? Where is the police? Where is anybody? I mean, they know from previous holiday weekends how violence can escalate in the city of Chicago. Why didn't anybody see this coming? Why didn't anybody see this coming? I'm talking about the mayor and the police superintendent of this city. This is ridiculous. I'm not saying anything about the shootings that go on during the weekdays. 45 shootings over the Easter weekend. And they're just boo-hooing it as if it's just, you know, another shooting. This is crazy. We're paying these people to do a job and they're not doing it. Police officers are being hired and trained. Where the hell are they going? What are they doing? Their job is to protect the citizens of the city, and it is not happening. I voted for Rahm twice, and I feel like I've been taken. This is crazy. You know, this is crazy. And this guy wants to seek another term. I don't think he's going to run. He'd be embarrassed if he tries to run, because his opponents are going to use Chicago's murder statistics to try to run him from office. And rightly so. You know, this is crazy. 45 shootings over the Easter weekend. You probably heard about the shootings over Christmas, or the shootings over the 4th of July, Thanksgiving. I mean, this goes on and on and on. And in some cases, shootings, just shootings any day of the week. I do believe Chicago's shooting, Chicago violence has surpassed 2016. It's ridiculous. And these people are still getting paid. Where are the police? If a lot of these a lot of these shootings that go on in the city of Chicago can be stopped, can be curtailed. All we need is a show of force in some of these communities. There is no show of force. There is no 24/7 patrolling in these communities. There is no National Guard. And these people bitch about not bringing the National Guard to the city of Chicago, and people are started dying. And they're asking, well, they're probably blaming the Donald Trump administration for not sending help. I think you don't need more police officers out on the street. What you need is a plan. They have no plan. You can have as few as police officers out on the street if you have a good plan. A plan that renders positive solutions. You can hire all the police in the world. They're just going to, they're not going to do anything. They're going to be afraid to do their jobs. They could get hurt or killed if you don't have a plan. You can't go into a high crime neighborhood with no plan. The bad guys are outsmarting you. They're more sophisticated. They're more smart. They're better savvy. They know how to use social media to do their crime and get away with it. Yeah, I've seen so many times where the police take a lot of guns off the street. They bust and make raids, take a lot of the gangbangers and the thugs off the street. But gangbangers and thugs are like weeds. You pull one weed up by the roots, another one's going to grow in its place. So I do agree with some of the leaders in some of these communities saying, hey, we need resources over here in the neighborhood to stop the young kids, to keep the young kids who are growing up, coming up of age in those areas from going the wrong way in their life, joining a gang. Because a lot of the gangbangers, the leaders of the gangbangers, they're going around recruiting a lot of these young kids into gangs. They're recruiting a lot of these young girls into prostitution. They're quitting school. They're dumbing themselves down, and for them, they think that they are some of the smartest people in the world. You can't be too smart when you're going to wind up dead or in prison. It's just baffling to me all the time that crime is just so out of control, it seems, in the city of Chicago. But if you ask some of these city leaders, they'll say, no, it's not. It's not out of control. Give me a break. And I want to say to a lot of people in the city of Chicago, do not believe everything you hear come out of these folks' mouths. It's just a stall tactic. It's just something they want you to believe that's not true. For instance, that there was a crime. There are crimes all day long and all night long on CTA, Chicago Transit Authority, the subway line here, the red line. If you live in Chicago, you know what I'm talking about. The red line, crime is all rampant, all day, all night on the red line, the subway line, the train, the city train, okay? And you got city officials telling you it's safe to ride. A lot of the people were concerned. A lot of the riders, the commuters, the people who have to go to work and have to go to school, ride the trains and have no choice other than to ride the trains because if you work in downtown, traffic is so congested and the parking and those garages are so expensive. You leave your car at home and you take the train downtown. But how can you keep taking the train when it's totally unsafe? You got people getting on those trains selling drugs. You got people getting on the train soliciting money. You got people getting on those trains selling cigarettes or whatever, or drugs, cigarettes, drugs, T-shirts, shoes, whatever they're selling, incense. You got people getting on those trains, and that's against the law. That's not supposed to be happening. Then you have crime all on those trains. You stand up on the flat you stand up on the platform and you're going to get robbed. Somebody's going to take your phone, or they're going to hurt you, or they're going to push you down on the tracks. That has been done. And then you talk to some of these city's officials about crime on the trains, the CTA trains, subway trains, and they'll tell you that, you know, that it's safe to ride the trains after everybody else who rides the train, the commuters, say the trains are unsafe. You know, you can hear them all day long saying, wow, I'm not going to ride CTA. The trains are unsafe. They're unsafe. But then you have city officials coming back and saying the trains are safe. Give me a break. The trains are not safe. You don't have any CTA rail police. You don't have any conductors. You don't have engineers on the train. The only thing you have on that train is the person who is driving the train, the driver or the engineer. That's one person on an 8-car train. Give me a break. And you got some kind of thing in each train, some kind of, I forget what you call them. echo chambers or something. If something happens on the train, you'll be able to punch a button and you're connected to the engineer, and I guess the engineer calls the police. But that's when things are too late. That's irrelevant. Those trains are not safe. Anytime you take a CTA train, it's luck. You're spinning a roulette wheel or something. Spend a bottle or something. You're taking a chance when you catch a train, especially late nights and early mornings. You're taking a chance. There's nobody. There's no police. There's no nothing. Nothing around but the criminal, the bad guy. Those trains are not safe. And I'm not saying that to scare people. I'm saying it because of the crime that is constantly committed upon people on the platforms, on the trains themselves, around the train station. And you got city officials saying the trains are safe. That's them saying this because they don't want you to stop riding the trains. They don't want you to stop giving them that money, because it's very expensive to ride these city trains. It used to be on the cheap end, but now it is very, very expensive. They're raising the fares like I don't know what, and then they're giving you no protection at all. And I think they are immune from lawsuits, because I'm pretty sure if you could sue them, they would probably be out of business by now. So crime in the city of Chicago is just rampant. I'm not saying there's not crime anywhere else. Yes, there is. It's all over the place. But the city officials try to make a fool out of you, try to look like an idiot, saying there is no crime, is not happening that much. That's crazy. Because the world is looking at Chicago. Every time there's a murder or shooting or anything in Chicago, it goes out there to the world. And when the world sees this, they criticize one person. One person get the criticism. And you know who that is? The mayor, Mayor Rahm Emanuel. They're saying, Emanuel, you are the mayor of the city of Chicago. One aspect of your job is to protect the people of your city, and that's not happening. It is not happening. And I've always said that this guy, Rahm Emanuel, should stop everything else and make solving crime number one priority in the city of Chicago. However, he does not. I think if he makes solving crime his number one priority and stop leaving it to his police department, which are failing badly, but they're getting paid, I think it will be a much safer city if he just took it seriously. Take crime seriously. Stop whining and crying about some little girl getting shot. Have a solution or a plan to stop this kind of carnage in the city of Chicago. I don't see it. They don't see it. Nobody sees it. You know, so Rahm Emanuel is the wrong guy for this city. He's the wrong guy. I mean, he wants if he's talking about the city, he's talking about some other aspect of the city, beautification of the city, digging holes, breaking ground on something else. What he should be doing is breaking ground on the crime that occur in some of these high crime, poor neighborhoods. And because these people are suffering over there under constant gunfire. How could you close your mind to this? And I think he has a closed mind to this, a closed mind. Because I say closed mind because this stuff is still going on. 45 shootings over the Easter weekend. This is ridiculous. I can go back and cite a lot of other statistics. And you'll find out so far, we're 4 months into at the broadcast of this podcast, we are 4 months into 2017. And we've already surpassed the statistics at this point for 2016. We're 4 months into 2017. I'm sorry. And we've already surpassed the crime statistics at this point in 2016. And I don't know, folks, it's just mind-boggling. It makes you want to just, scream because these people aren't doing their jobs. You know, what they're doing is collecting a paycheck. They're not protecting the citizens of this city. They're making up excuses. They're throwing out lies. And instead of doing their jobs and stopping the killings and the slaughter of citizens in some of these high crime neighborhoods in the city of Chicago. I agree with Emmanuel putting most police officers in high crime areas and taking police away from areas of the city that does not have that much crime, but still in all, it's not having any kind of effect. I mean, you just don't, like I just got through saying, you just don't throw bodies over there in these high crime areas without a plan, without a solution. The gangbangers are there. The thugs are there. The guns are there. You have to have solutions. You just throw people over there in, especially people who don't know anything about the neighborhood, people who don't know just a body in a uniform. It ain't going to work. With a gun, it ain't going to work. A lot of these guys and girls that you hire, that are hired by the city, they're hotheads. They want to draw a gun and shoot. They don't give a damn what the ramifications are going to be. That gun feels good on their hip. It feels great. It feels good in their hands. They're thinking, I just got to shoot somebody, you know. And then what? The city gets sued. They go to jail. Bingo. It's just a domino effect. But the bottom line is that the crime in the city of Chicago is going to have this. That's going to have to. It can't keep like going on like this. Even Donald Trump, I mean, he's a joke, but because he said he was going to do something about Chicago's crime, he's going to solve it in one day when he became elected. We all knew that lie. And he said he was going to come over here and go to some of the neighborhoods. At least that's what was insinuated. That didn't happen. He didn't send any. I haven't heard anything about him have sent people over here to help with Chicago crime. I don't think they need help. Mary Emanuel and Eddie Johnson, the superintendent, saying that they need help with Chicago, telling Trump that they need help. I don't think they need help. I think they need a plan. A plan with a surefire solution of lowering crime and making Chicago a safe city. They need a plan. They don't have any plan. And the plans that are offered, they turn them down. The National Guard, I mean, you talk about the National Guard like they were vomit, the way they would talk about the National Guard. And they don't want the National Guard in the city, or the Army or any type of military. But they're not giving any really real results of why they don't want these groups of people. Then people are constantly dying. give the National Guard a chance. You got some of these leaders in some of these communities saying the same thing. We don't want the National Guard. Like everybody else, who want the National Guard, like we're crazy, we're stupid, we don't know what we're talking about. We need the National, we need something, because the police department can't do it. The mayor doesn't have any plan to do it. People are constantly getting shot and killed in this city, and it's an embarrassment every single night because we're on the national news, world news, and there's nothing being done, and people are criticizing the mayor. The mayor. And people hear me on the radio and other people saying, hey, wow, why not the National Guard? You tried everything else. Nothing worked.
No, we don't want the guard. Don't bring the guard over here.
You know, as if we who want the guard to come and try to stop some of these shootings, we're crazy. We don't know what we're talking about. We're idiots. But you ask any of those people in some of those high crime areas, would they like to have the National Guard in their community? They would say they would welcome it. They would say, yes, we would. But somehow these asshole politicians who don't have a plan to solve crimes, people are dying every day in the damn streets. People are afraid to come out of their house. They're afraid to go to the store, afraid to walk to the park, afraid to sit in their car. And you tell me that they don't want the National Guard in their community to feel safe? Are you kidding? But these assholes who are safe in their own homes and call themselves city leaders, they don't want the National Guard. Why?
Well, we don't want the National Guard. We need resources in the community.
Resources in the community is not going to get you jack. You may get a few young kids out of there, take a few young smart kids out of there, but the gangbangers, the thugs, the shooters are still going to be there. The guns are still going to be there. And they're going to try their best to get a hold of those children who you are trying to turn around and turn away from crime. The bad guys know what they're doing. Like I just got through saying, the bad guys are savvy. They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They're more sophisticated. They're more savvy than ever. They use social media more so. They're smart. They're bright. They're intelligent because they're getting away with this shit. And they know the police are hindered. Because why are the police hindered? Because the police, they don't want to approach too many people. They don't want to step on too many toes on the north, on the south and west sides of the city, because they don't want to wind up on YouTube. They don't want to wind up going viral on YouTube or Facebook, and you know, and the city wind up having to pay for if you think about it, taxpayer money is being paid out in droves for police brutality. And the city of Chicago just had an audit on an investigation of the police department. You just had an investigation of the police department, and that garnered nothing. That did nothing. I don't see where that did anything. Most of these people who were doing the investigation said positive things about it. And the investigation didn't garner anybody doing anything wrong. It just, the investigation was just targeting things that needed to be changed or done better. My estimation, somebody should have went to jail. So this investigation was just a joke. It was a joke, and they didn't even have to do it. You know, we just got to change leadership. We got to change leadership. We got to do a better job at picking candidates, putting them in office. We don't want candidates who think they're king, emperor, you know. And that's what we got. That's what we got. We don't want candidates who don't answer questions. We don't want candidates with pissed off attitudes. You can't ask them a question. They get mad and angry and walk off, like Rahm Emanuel and Governor Bruce Rauner. We need real candidates. We need candidates out here that's going to talk to the people, be there for the people, the due diligence for the people who put their asses in office and give them their paycheck. We need people that's going to be on the side of those of us who are out here in grassroots America. That's what we need. We need representatives who are actually going to represent us, not represent their party, not represent themselves and their family, but represent the people, we the people who put their asses in office. That is what the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of Illinois is all about. But these asshole politicians, they don't see that. They don't care. I was saying the other day, we need a constitutional police. That's what we need, constitutional police, because too many politicians are using the Constitution, the United States Constitution, as toilet paper. They care nothing about what's in it except for what's in it that's going to benefit them. As long as it benefits them, they love certain portions of the Constitution. If it doesn't benefit them, they want to amend it or take it out, you know, of the Constitution. We need the constitutional police. So somebody, whether it's a federal constitution, state constitution, or city constitution, we need constitutional police. So whenever these assholes violate that constitution, their asses will go straight to jail. Right now, you can violate the constitution every which way, and there is nothing that's going to be done. You take Donald Trump. But if there was a constitutional police saying that if you violate a clause in the Constitution, hey, you will be thrown out of office immediately, not when your term is up, but immediately, that should be a good thing, you know. Immediately. I was thinking about that last night. Constitutional police, that is something that should be done and will be done. I'm hoping will be done, because, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the city of Chicago. I've said this before. This is a beautiful city. It's a great city. It's a wonderful city. We just got asshole politicians that do not know or care about what they're doing. And a lot of these folks don't care about what the people think. They don't care about what you think or what I think. And we put their asses in office. You look at the Republicans. Now, they go to they have these town hall meetings. A lot of them still don't go to those town hall meetings. You got these Republicans at these town hall meetings getting their asses chewed out by their constituency, and they still go against what their voters want. They still go against what their voters want. And that shows you that they don't even care. They don't care about what the voters want. They don't. They care about what they want and what their party want. I said this before, I think there's about 300, correct me if I'm wrong, I think there's about 320, 330 million people, I'm going to say, in the United States. And then we've got, what, 100 senators, 435 senators, 435 representatives, I'm sorry. We got 100 senators and 435 representatives in Congress in the U.S. And we have one president. But there's 320 million people in the United States. And we got, I'm going to say this again, we got 100 senators in the Congress. We got 435 representatives in Congress. So if you add that all up, you get that's 535 plus one, the president, in Washington. That's 535 people in Congress. And there's 320 million people in America. Now, what is that telling you? What is that telling you? How can we let these people who are very, very few do so much damage to our country? How? It's just mind-boggling. This is why I say the reason why we got so many Republicans in office around the country is because a lot of people did not vote. And then some people, a lot of people did vote for Hillary Clinton for the popular vote, but you voted for Hillary Clinton, but you did not vote for your senator. You did not vote for your representative. And that's why we have a Republican-controlled Congress today. This is why they're getting away with so much damage to the country, because they're in control and they don't give a damn. They don't. Donald Trump do not give a damn about you or your needs or anything, and you put his ass in office. Donald Trump does not represent a vast majority of people in the United States. He does not. He represents a certain segment of those people, and that's what he does. He represents a certain segment of the people, rich. You know, he doesn't give a damn about you or your job. He doesn't. He just said those things to get in office. Donald Trump is not making America great again. He's making America ugly, poor. A friend of mine on Facebook posted that, so I kind of agree with that. So, I don't know. We have a long way to go in this country. We have a long way to go. And it just makes me wonder if we're going to get there. Are we going to get there? We have a long way to go, but are we going to get there? I think we will. I think we'll be okay. Some people have said, well, Donald Trump is going to bomb us all to hell. Get us. That could be possible. But make sure you just fight the good fight to keep this country safe. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be Americans. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away. But we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently. So let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting non-violently.
What keeps us healthy and happy as we go through life? If you were going to invest now in your future best self, where would you put your time and your energy? There was a recent survey of millennials asking them what their most important life goals were. And over 80% said that a major life goal for them was to get rich. And another 50% of those same young adults said that another major life goal was to become famous. And we're constantly told to lean into work, to push harder and achieve more. We're given the impression that these are the things that we need to go after in order to have a good life. Pictures of entire lives, of the choices that people make and how those choices work out for them, those pictures are almost impossible to get. Most of what we know about human life, we know from asking people to remember the past. And as we know, hindsight is anything but 20/20. We forget vast amounts of what happens to us in life. And sometimes memory is downright creative. But what if we could watch entire lives as they unfold through time? What if we could study people from the time that they were teenagers all the way into old age to see what really keeps people happy and healthy. We did that. The Harvard study of adult development may be the longest study of adult life that's ever been done. For 75 years, we've tracked the lives of 724 men. Year after year, asking about their work, their home lives, their health, and of course asking all along the way without knowing how their life stories were going to turn out. Studies like this are exceedingly rare. Almost all projects of this kind fall apart within a decade because too many people drop out of the study, or funding for the research dries up, or the researchers get distracted, or they die, and nobody moves the ball further down the field. But through a combination of luck and the persistence of several generations of researchers, this study has survived. About 60 of our original 724 men are still alive, still participating in the study, most of them in their 90s. And we are now beginning to study the more than 2,000 children of these men. And I'm the fourth director of the study. Since 1938, we've tracked the lives of two groups of men. The first group started in the study when they were sophomores at Harvard College. They all finished college during World War II, and then most went off to serve in the war. And the second group that we've followed was a group of boys from Boston's poorest neighborhoods. Boys who were chosen for the study specifically because they were from some of the most troubled and disadvantaged families in the Boston of the 1930s. Most lived in tenements, many without hot and cold running water. When they entered the study, all of these teenagers were interviewed, they were given medical exams. We went to their homes and we interviewed their parents. And then these teenagers grew up into adults who entered all walks of life. They became factory workers and lawyers and bricklayers and doctors, one president of the United States. Some developed alcoholism. A few developed schizophrenia. Some climbed the social ladder from the bottom all the way to the very top. And some made that journey in the opposite direction. The founders of this study would never in their wildest dreams have imagined that I would be standing here today, 75 years later, telling you that the study still continues. Every 2 years, our patient and dedicated research staff calls up our men and asks them if we can send them yet one more set of questions about their lives. Many of the inner city Boston men ask us, "Why do you keep wanting to study me? My life just isn't that interesting." The Harvard men never ask that question. To get the clearest picture of these lives, we don't just send them questionnaires. We interview them in their living rooms. We get their medical records from their doctors. We draw their blood. We scan their brains. We talk to their children. We videotape them talking with their wives about their deepest concerns. And when about a decade ago we finally asked the wives if they would join us as members of the study, many of the women said, "You know, it's about time." So what have we learned? What are the lessons that come from the tens of thousands of pages of information that we've generated on these lives? Well, the lessons aren't about wealth or fame or working harder and harder. The clearest message that we get from this 75-year study is this: good relationships keep us happier and healthier. Period. We've learned three big lessons about relationships. The first is that social connections are really good for us and that loneliness kills. It turns out that people who are more socially connected to family, to friends, to community, are happier, they're physically healthier, and they live longer than people who are less well connected. And the experience of loneliness turns out to be toxic. People who are more isolated than they want to be from others find that they are less happy, their health declines earlier in midlife, their brain functioning declines sooner, and they live shorter lives than people who are not lonely. And the sad fact is that at any given time, more than 1 in 5 Americans will report that they're lonely. And we know that you can be lonely in a crowd and you can be lonely in a marriage. So the second big lesson that we learned is that it's not just the number of friends you have, and it's not whether or not you're in a committed relationship, but it's the quality of your close relationships that matters. It turns out that living in the midst of conflict is really bad for our health. High conflict marriages, for example, without much affection, turn out to be very bad for our health, perhaps worse than getting divorced. And living in the midst of good, warm relationships is protective. Once we had followed our men all the way into their 80s, we wanted to look back at them at midlife and to see if we could predict who was going to grow into a happy, healthy octogenarian and who wasn't. And when we gathered together everything we knew about them at age 50, it wasn't their middle-aged cholesterol levels that predicted how they were going to grow old. It was how satisfied they were in their relationships. The people who were the most satisfied in their relationships at age 50 were the healthiest at age 80. And good, close relationships seem to buffer us from some of the slings and arrows of getting old. Our most happily partnered men and women reported in their 80s that on the days when they had more physical pain, their moods stayed just as happy. But the people who were in unhappy relationships, on the days when they reported more physical pain, it was magnified by more emotional pain. And the third big lesson that we learn about relationships and our health is that good relationships don't just protect our bodies, they protect our brains. It turns out that being in a securely attached relationship to another person in your 80s is protective, that the people who are in relationships where they really feel they can count on the other person in times of need, those people's memories stay sharper longer. And the people in relationships where they feel they really can't count on the other one, those are the people who experience earlier memory decline. And those good relationships, they don't have to be smooth all the time. Some of our octogenarian couples could bicker with each other day in and day out. But as long as they felt that they could really count on the other when the going got tough, those arguments didn't take a toll on their memories. So, this message that good, close relationships are good for our health and well-being, this is wisdom that's as old as the hills. Why is this so hard to get and so easy to ignore? Well, we're human. What we'd really like is a quick fix, something we can get that'll make our lives good and keep them that way. Relationships are messy and they're complicated, and the hard work of tending to family and friends, that's not sexy or glamorous. It's also lifelong. It never ends. The people in our 75-year study who were the happiest in retirement were the people who had actively worked to replace workmates with new playmates. Just like the millennials in that recent survey, many of our men, when they were starting out as young adults, really believed that fame and wealth and high achievement were what they needed to go after to have a good life. But over and over, over these 75 years, our study has shown that the people who fared the best were the people who leaned into relationships with family, with friends, with community. So what about you? Let's say you're 25, or you're 40, or you're 60. What might leaning into relationships even look like? Well, the possibilities are practically endless. It might be something as simple as replacing screen time with people time, or livening up a stale relationship by doing something new together, long walks or date nights. or reaching out to that family member who you haven't spoken to in years, because those all too common family feuds take a terrible toll on the people who hold the grudges. I'd like to close with a quote from Mark Twain. More than a century ago, he was looking back on his life, and he wrote this. There isn't time. So brief is life for bickerings, apologies, heartburnings, callings to account. There is only time for loving, and but an instant, so to speak, for that. The good life is built with good relationships. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I'm going to mention Ellen Byram, and she is the author of The Woman in the Dollhouse, Amazon. That's great. Okay, let's get, see if we can do some more here. Dash Dixon, Queens Don't Settle, A Book of Poems to Empower Women. I believe I mentioned that yesterday. Okay, we're doing what we can here. Red Karma, A Memoir, Natasha Carmen. Some of these I mentioned yesterday. And let's see if we can go back up. I hope you enjoyed it. And I was on a rant about Chicago's crime, and it is out of control, ladies and gentlemen. And okay, a lot of these I mentioned yesterday. Let's see if we can go and try. And okay, who is this? Madeline McLaughlin. Okay, Amazon. Okay, I mentioned this one too yesterday. Jess Stephen Hughes, bestseller, the breathtaking historical novel of action and suspense set in the year 71 AD amid the exotic and vibrant streets of ancient Rome. The Sign Eagle. Okay, I mentioned that yesterday. Let's see if we can. All right, we're doing good with this. This is my first time doing it, so next time I do it, I'll have a better way of presenting this, because this is fun. This is fun, and I respect authors to the hilt. I think they're some of the greatest people in the world. And a lot of times people, you know, this is great what I've done, but, you know, a lot of authors this way will get to know each other also. They'll see each other's book, they'll see each other's link, and they'll click on their link if they're interested in the book. So it's still good in a way, because authors will get to know each other. And that's great. And that's what it's all about, making the world a better place, even if it's getting authors to know each other and to come together as one. And that's what we are. We're coming together as one. And I think this is a good thing. Broken Bastard by, who is this? Broken Bastard by, let's see if I lost it. Okay, some of the names I can't pronounce. So if I don't, Dave Berkey, Life Tales Book. Okay, I'm Amazon. Okay, some of these I've done already, so you know. Alrighty. Okay, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. Show. If you haven't heard your book on the show, tune in tomorrow. We're going to do it tomorrow also. We're going to be doing it until Thursday. I can't get to everybody's book, but I'm going to try and get to yours if at all possible. Vicky, no, I think I've done this yesterday. Friend, Grief and Men, Defying Stereotypes, Amazon. Okay, see what we got here. Okay, all righty. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, here we go. Broken Bastard, Susan Hornsnail. Okay, I think some of the names are more interesting than the titles of the books. Okay. Then like I said before at the beginning of the show, a lot of people are submitting more than one book. I mean, one author, one or two authors are submitting all of their books. I'm not going to call off every book that they submit. Only one book, one author. You know, and I'm hoping that a lot of this stuff is going out to readers. If you are a reader, this is some fantastic material here. Okay, it is Rick Johnson, Trailer Trash, Amazon. This is some this stuff is fantastic stuff. The titles alone make me want to actually go out and check it out. And it's some great stuff here, folks. It's some great stuff here. Okay, let's try a few more. I'm not going to try and get them all today because I'm going to save some for tomorrow. I love short stories. Neil James. Now, this is one of the authors I've been talking about. He submitted about five or six books. I'm just going to, he writes short, man, and I love short stories. You know what I'm saying? Two Little Diggy Birds, Threads of Descent. I'm sorry. Decent. Okay. Full Marks, Day of the Phoenix, Rings of, I'm thinking Daryl's. Okay. All right. Okay. We're going to be right back with some more folks. I will be right back. All righty, bring it on home. Okay, Jerry Crowling at cowling.com. All right. Looks like some interesting stuff there. Check that out. Then we got B.A. Dillon. I need glasses. check that out. And a Facebook friend, Douglas Sander. Bad memories. They didn't believe him at the asylum when they said he didn't do it. And they sure as hell didn't believe him when goes on and goes on. Check it out at Amazon.com. Bad memories. All righty. Duke, there are many magazines in hell. Revised. Sounds interesting. Amazon. Audra Duke, there are many magazines in hell. Okay. Marcia Vance, Lighthouse Dreams, the Dream Series Book 1. Amazon, check it out. Check it out. Ted D. Burner. Okay, Proof the Novel. A controversial verse in the Bible sparks a college graduate student, Ty Larson's curiosity, causing him to stumble, and so on and so forth. Check it out. All right. I'm going down the list here. A School for Dragons. Amy Wolf. A School for Dragon. All right. Book 1. Check it out. It's on Amazon. All righty. Let's see if we can do some more. M.K. Harkins, Famous by Default. Check it out. Amazon bestseller. Wow, 99 cents for a limited time. All righty. Check it out. M.K. Harkins, Famous by Default. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We're going to save some of this for tomorrow, okay? We can't do it all today, but we're going to save some for tomorrow. And I hope that every book that I mentioned on the show, even if you just send your link to the post that I posted online on Facebook, and all you authors, hundreds of authors, and there are hundreds of you out there who have done this, get to know each other. I mean, get to know each other. I mean, Betty G. Lamb, I mean, you can get to know Vicky No. I mean, authors get to know authors. I think that's where most writers will find their soulmates or best friends and other people who are doing some of the same things that you're doing, because you guys are compatible in some way with each other because you're interested in some of the same things. So, Janice Seagraves. Awesome. Okay. And her book is Alien Heart Chronicles of Archon Book One. Janice Seagraves. Okay. Like I said before, we're going to do some more of these things tomorrow. So we don't want to do them all today or majority of them today. And I did what I could. Okay. Let's try this one again. Betty Lamb, The Killing Vote. That's interesting. That's on Amazon. Betty G. Graham. Oh, I'm screwing this up. Betty G. Graham, The Killing Vote on Amazon. So yeah, I'm screwing it up a little bit, folks, because this is very new to me. It's very new to me. I'm trying to figure out how to do it without, you know, screwing up so much. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for sending in their link to their book. And I tried to mention as much as I can on the show, and I will do it tomorrow. All righty. That'll be enough for today. We're going to do it again tomorrow. Tune in or, you know, I'll podcast the show later to see if you hear your book and your link. And your link is Amazon. That's what it is, your link. And on this show, it's your link. And I may have some of the authors on the show to talk about their books. I mean, if you want to come on the show someday and talk about your book, just, you know, let me know. You know, and that's it. And you can talk about it, and we can talk about it, actually, you know, because I love books. I love reading. I love writing. I'm an author myself, as some of you probably know. So if you want to come on the show and talk about your book, I mean, I've got no problem with that. That would be awesome. That would even be more awesome. We're going to get to submitting, talking, calling out, and mentioning more books on the George Wilder Jr. Show tomorrow. It is 7:08 straight up Chicago time. PM, it's getting a little darker, but it's so nice in Chicago, folks. It's beautiful. I want to say one of the things about Chicago's Easter massacre was what I call it, Easter massacre, because that's 45 people shot. Give me a break. Give me a, whether they died or not, whether it was fatal or not, that's a lot of shootings. That is a total lot of shootings. And it's just not right. It's just not right. And Chicago, I've been here most of my life, folks, if not all of my life. And Chicago is a beautiful city. Don't ever think Chicago is not a beautiful city. Just like New York or Los Angeles or Seattle or Texas, Chicago, a city in Texas. Chicago is a beautiful city. These cities around the world, around America, within these states, Chicago is a beautiful city. It's a beautiful town. It's a beautiful place to stay. It's expensive. You're going to pay if you live here because the taxes are going to get you. I mean, this guy, Rahm Emanuel, I call him the tax mayor because that's all he does is raise taxes. And he doesn't raise taxes by a little. He raises taxes quite a bit. You know, he takes a big bite out of your paycheck, your pocket every time. And that's all he does is raise taxes. He has to raise them. He has to pay all these goddamn lawsuits that people are filing against the city for wrongful police shootings, wrongful imprisonment, you name it. They have to pay money to these folks. And that money is coming out of your pocket and my pocket. You know, I disagree with the city on some things, paying taxes, paying some of these criminals who probably deserve what they've got because they put themselves in a situation for these kind of things to happen. So why pay them? But Rahm Emanuel, he relents. He gives in. He's a liberal, bleeding heart liberal. He gives in to all of this, And the latest incident where he's paying some family $350 for shooting their son in the back. I can't think of names right now, but it's happening. I think it's a waste of money. I think. And the guy had a gun. The kid had a gun. You know, he dropped it. He picked it up. He ran. You know, I guess the police shot him in the back. But, you know, but the young man put himself in that position to be shot in the back. You know, and the police is saying the shootings were justified. I think they're correct. I mean, anytime you have a gun, you know, whether you're running toward the police or running away from the police, and if you fired that gun, I mean, hey, they're going to fire it back. And I don't see why the police the mayor has to pay this boy's family all this money when this, you know, $350,000. It's just a money hungry family. I mean, a lot of these people just, you know, they're just money hungry. They just wanted money, even though this kid deserved what he got. I mean, he's got a gun. He's running away from the police. He could have shot at somebody or something. And he's got a gun. He's running away. And the police shot him. I mean, if you got a gun, you deserve to be shot because you could shoot someone while running away. You know, so and why would the city pay money to his family when his family done a really awful job in bringing him up? Bad parenting. But the city, I mean, you know, somebody holler, scream police brutality. All of a sudden, Mary Rahm Emanuel pays up, even though it may not have been the police's fault. It may not have been the city's fault, but the family come out. They're broke. They're hungry. And they file in a lawsuit just to get some money to feed themselves and yeah, I just think they exploit their. I think some of these families exploit their children, you know, because they want money, and the city just pays out all of these all this tax money, your and my tax money, to these criminals and their families. It's crazy. And then he's raising more. He's raising this, raising gas taxes to try to fill that hole in paying off some of these lawsuits that some of these kids were criminals in the first place and more likely deserve what they got. But their families come out screaming and hollering and crying. And then there's a lawyer. They hire a lawyer and a lawsuit. And then the city pays this astronomical amount in taxes to somebody who probably deserved what he got. But, you know, the mayor, superintendent, all these people give in. It's not their money, right? It's the taxpayer money, so they don't give a damn about it. And then they raise more taxes to get more money to fill that void where they have had paid that money out ridiculously, you know. But I am against police brutality. I don't like it no more than anybody else. But when a young man puts himself in that position to be shot, whether it's in the back or the stomach or whatever, you know, why would you pay out millions of dollars to someone who put himself in that position, to someone with parents and relatives who did a poor job at bringing up this guy, you know, who's got a gun, excuse me, who has a gun. Oh, something got in my throat, folks. Who has a gun, probably shot the gun, going around committing crimes. Suddenly the police shoots him and the family starts crying and screaming all over the television, you know, saying in so many words, we're going to sue. We want money. It's ridiculous. And then we, the taxpayer, wind up paying this family who were bad parents lots of money because they, you know, didn't bring up their child correctly. And I want to say this, the city should stop and the city should stop trying to take care of children where the parents cannot do it. If the parents can't take care of their own children, can't parent their own children, you know, I mean, a lot of these parents don't know what the hell they're doing when it comes to their children. You know, that's why a lot of these kids wind up in gangs and wind up in jail. And a lot of the parents are being told what to do by their own children. Sit down, shut up, give me what I want. And this is really happening. Children are controlling their parents. The parents on drugs, the parents prostituting somewhere. The children are controlling their own parents. I've seen it. I don't talk about too much I haven't witnessed or haven't been a part of, but I've seen 3-year-old kids tell their parents what to do. That's that. I'm not kidding. I mean, 347-857-1762. I have seen it. I've heard it also. You know, I've said, my God. You know, some parents are just, oh, that's my baby. That's my child. And your child is cursing. Child's in gangs. Your child is disrespecting you. Your child is hanging out on the street corner. You're down the street selling your body. I mean, what else is going to happen to them? What else can happen? I mean, how is that child going to come up? This is what's happening in a lot of these communities out here in some of these neighborhoods. And then this child grows up, get a gun, start robbing and shooting, and the police shows up and shoot the child in the back, and here come the parents crying. A lot of it I think is fake because they want money and they get it. And what do we get? We get our taxes raised because the mayor Emanuel has to pay money out to these people who say they've been victimized by the police because their son had a gun and was running away from the cops. That don't make any sense. I wouldn't pay him a cent. But mayor, like I've said, he's a bleeding heart liberal. If he focused on solving some of these crimes in the city of Chicago, he wouldn't have to pay out so much of our money to some of these people out here who do not deserve it because their kid was shot committing a crime or running from the police with a gun in his hand. And this is one of the reasons why a lot of cops, the city of Chicago, do not stop, especially if someone looks like a criminal who is a criminal. They're afraid to stop and frisk these people. They're afraid they might wind up on YouTube, on Facebook or something. And, you know, and the criminals know this. They know that the police are lax in the city of Chicago. They know it. They know when the police come around in their neighborhoods that they can stand on the corners and the police are not going to say anything. The police are not going to approach them. They know it. These guys are big, bad, and bold. And the police are just letting them have their way until somebody gets shot, which is more likely the case. And I keep harping back to this 45 people shot Easter weekend, a few days ago, 3 days ago, from the date of the of this broadcast. It was 3 days ago. See, if you're listening to it, it might be a week or whatever. But from the date of this live broadcast, Easter was Sunday, 3 days ago. And 45 people were shot in the city of Chicago. 45 people. And I haven't heard anything from Mayor Rahm Emanuel, anything from the superintendent of Chicago Police. Nothing whatsoever. Usually this guy gets on television soon after somebody's been massacred. He gets on television and say, hey, wow, crime is down. Now, it is funny because every time somebody gets massacred on the south side, on the west side, so any parts of the city, the first thing they are comparing statistics from 2017 to 2011. You know, you tell that to the relatives, the parents of that person who got shot, if they care about statistics. Do they think crime is down? A lot of these people live in crime-ridden neighborhoods every day. Shootings go on all night, all day. Shootings go on so much that they have gotten used to it. You know, they have gotten used to it. It's nothing. It's a part of the neighborhood. It's a part of the life that they live. Shootings. Yeah, I do think it's a great thing when a police superintendent and the mayor takes guns off the street, take the thugs and the criminals off the street. But like I've said before earlier into the show, thugs and criminals are like weeds in your yard. You pull your weeds, another one's gonna grow in its place. Yeah, I do think you need resources on the west and south sides of the city, especially in some of these high crime areas. But that's all you need. I'm gonna say one more time, I'm gonna say the National Guard, because there's what other choice do we have? But the politicians and the big time city leaders aren't going to say, I'm crazy. Why do you want the National Guard? We don't want the guard. Ask those people in those communities who live with this every day and every day, shootings, gangs, thugging, robbing, crime. You ask them. They will tell you proudly, yes, send the National Guard over here. But these assholes don't want that. And then they act like, pretend like, that they care about the people in these communities. If you think you care about the people in these communities, get them some help. Get them some help, not just flash your butt on television every chance you get talking about how sad this is. You care so much. Get them some help, a lot of help. The National Guard, the Army, what do you think these people are there for? You got riots. I mean, this is just like in the community to me. You want to put officers over there in riot gear and flush out those gangbangers over there. Flush them out. When they appear, flush them out. Don't be afraid to approach them. If somebody looks like a gangbanger, looks like a thug, he looks like he's wanted by the police officer, he looks like he may be carrying a gun, get them off the streets. Get them off that street corner. Or somebody's going to wind up dead. A lot of times these young guys hang out on the street corners and just taunt the police because they know the police are not going to say anything to them. And that's wrong. If young guys are hanging on the street corner, walk up there and break it up. Say, hey, go home. Get off this corner. A lot of police officers don't do that anymore. They just let them stand. Well, they have rights. They have no rights. If they're thugs and they're criminals and they've committed crimes and they have jail records, they've been in jail. They have no crime. Get them off that corner. Search them for guns. Ask them questions. Interrogate them. Find out where the guns are, the drugs are. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. Show, and we're talking about the Easter Massacre. I mean, I've retitled the show The Easter Massacre because that's what it is. And that's what it is, folks. And it's terrible. It's a bad thing. But I'm here to try to make the world a better place. And but I got people here who are not interested in that. So we have to change those folks' mind if we can. Only if we can.
Bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has to crawl.
Thanks for listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It has been fun, folks. We check me out on Facebook. Check me out on Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. Google, Twitter. Social media is just phenomenal. As long as we treat it fairly and treat it right. Do not use it for anything wrong. Be nice to one another out there. And I will see you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye, everybody. Have a good one.